Oh God, we thank you for such joy infusing our worship and our hope. And we thank you that your Spirit still creates new joy, new life. Open our hearts more deeply to it now. May new creation occur in us and among us. May we hear. May we live. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our executive council met this week, and the opening prayer, led by the moderator, Robbie Stapleton, began with these words: God of thresholds. I told Robbie later I really like those words, God of thresholds, and said I might want to use it in this Sunday sermon. And she told me this was one of Stacy's prayers. That in fact, I had spoken that prayer in Stacy's behalf last month. The beauty of forgetting is getting to remember and hear as for the very first time. God of thresholds, and what perfect words they are for the entering of a new year, for the entering of a new season in the life of our community. Our Old Testament text today is a word to people standing on a threshold. People about to cross over, literally, into new territory. The speaker is Moses, the audience, a multitude of former slaves and descendants of slaves. For 40 years, Moses has led them through the wilderness, now to a land of promise. The way had been hard. The way had been filled with challenges, deprivations, mistakes, and tragic consequences, but the way had also been filled with wonders and miracles of God's provision for them in the desert, with that history behind them, and new possibilities ahead of them. As they now have arrived, they see a river. Across that river being their new home. So Moses gathers them and rehearses their history with them, and also reminds them of all that God's loving command has required of them, asked of them, insisted on from them. Then Moses concludes with a solemn declaration that the people will now have to choose who they will be and what they will be like when they have crossed over this threshold. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, by loving the Lord, walking in God's ways, observing God's commands, then you will live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but you are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, you shall die. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Choose length of days. Do as God has commanded and live. Could it be any simpler? I've set before you life and death. Choose life. Simple. And yet, maybe a little surprising. I mean, if you're given just two choices, and one is life and one is death, Is it really so hard to choose? Yes, it can be hard to choose. And so we must decide to choose. If we mean life, if by life we mean not mere existing, but life with some flourishing in it, some growing in it, and learning and loving in it, a desire in it at least for wholeness and for moving toward wholeness, which does require, in the end, some choosing. Moses sums up the life-giving choices this way: love God, walk in God's ways, keep God's commands. There are thousands of beautiful ways to express that kind of choosing. And so we choose. I do notice that Moses never says that the alternative is to choose death. I've set before you life and death, but he gives only one of those words, the verb choose. Choose life, almost as if the ways of death don't necessarily need choosing. As if healthy, as if deathly ways will just happen if we don't choose the life-giving way. What is the second law of thermodynamics, I wonder if you know? Entropy. All energy systems naturally tend to disintegrate into a more disordered state. It is the law of things fall apart. So you must tend to your garden, or the weeds take over. You must tend your fire, or it goes out or goes wild. You must tend to your love, or you will lose it. And that's how it is in human life, individually and collectively, in countless ways. Much, so much that is good within us and among us will lose its edge, will drift, or even fall into disorder and decay unless and until good people choose what gives life and sustains life and live in the ways that lead to life for others as for ourselves. Sometimes choosing life means speaking out for the living of others. Martin Luther King Jr. lived only to the age of 39. But he said these words 3 years earlier: "If a person happens to be 36 years old, as I happen to be, and some great truth stands before the door of his life, some great opportunity to stand up for that which is right and just, and he refuses to stand up because he is afraid, he may go on and live until he's 80. Then the cessation of breathing in his life is merely the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. We die when we refuse to stand up for that which is true." Choose life. Choose life by, among other things, rejecting your culture's false values. Our text is so explicit that choosing life means refusing false gods that are on display all around us, the false god of money and of stuff and of popularity and of power and self-promotion, self-serving and tribalism and me-ism and winning by any means and smearing others with lies and being a fake. All of this is advertised as how we are all now to live, and it all stinks of death. I have set before you death and life. Wave goodbye to what is deathly. Choose the alternative. Come alive. You do this in part by choosing relationships and nurturing relationships that are life-giving. Lean into those good friendships. Take your place, your deepening place, your growing place in a real community of love and faith, justice and kindness. This church may be a good example. And don't forget to make intentional choices of what is life-giving personally to you. Choose rest. Choose what to you is beautiful. Choose what nurtures you and restores you and inspires you and helps your heart to sing. Let yourself dream again. Do what new thing that the Spirit is calling you to do. Pray, trust, open your arms. I've set before you death and life. Choose life. Do it over and over and over again. That is the thing about choosing life. It wants repeating, requires repeating. There's a heartbeat in the choice for life, and so a rhythm of saying yes and yes and yes again. People who are well married may know something about this. The need for choosing again and again. Wendell Berry wrote this poem to his wife, and if you're in need of a Valentine card, I suggest writing this down. Sometimes hidden from me in daily custom and in trust, so that I live by you unaware, as by the beating of my heart, suddenly you flare in my sight, a wild rose blooming at the edge of thicket. Grace and light, where yesterday was only shade, and once more I am blessed, choosing again what I chose before. That's how it can be with all manner of good and healthy relationships. At times, as time passes in our friendships, our families, our commitments, our communities, we naturally stop noticing so vividly the reasons we have for loving each other. But sometimes, if we are fortunate and paying attention at all, the veil is lifted and we are blessed in choosing what we chose before. Choose life. And so with the truest passion in your life, whatever it is, your own deepest calling, your best and truest dream of who you are to be and what you are to do, choose it all over, not exactly as it used to be, because time has changed and you have changed, but a hidden, holy hand holds it before you again, and you can reclaim it on this threshold of a new day. And in a very special way, this is true of our faith. Past all the distortions of faith all around us, past its narrowness and meanness and its cold, empty moralisms and platitudes, in spite of any bad experience we have had with church, religion, with our own failures in it, as well as its failures of us. Jesus still stands at center, strong, calm, gleaming, and saying, I have come that you may have life, and life in abundance. Not judgment, not compliance, not a system of beliefs, not good behavior. I have come to give an extravagant abundance of thriving, flourishing life. Given the news of resurrection, and given his irrepressible outreaching joy, this is the very heart and the farthest horizon of authentic, growing faith. Life here, life now, life everlasting. Frederick Buechner summed it up so beautifully. What's lost is nothing compared to what's found. And all the death that ever was set next to life would scarcely fill a cup. That is the boundless good news about God's gift of life to you, to us. Choose it.